Thank you. It's not only with the fact that there is no technicality definition in the Germans formalized this process in so-called core theory. The first stage of the core theory applied to the subject matter with technical and non-technical feature meant a task of waking up both of them and choose the group that prevails. When only technical features are more essential, the subject matter has potential of patentability. In the
Put into the proposal. Without this, all the words of technology are wasted. It's undefined. Okay, that's all I can say in just limited time. Thank you.
Express his doubts, but they simply say that data processing is not patentable yet to anywhere, on the ground that he doesn't particularly understand it, doesn't see what it includes and what it excludes. A thing which I wonder about sometimes is this: would we do better to look harder at the question what counts as infringing a patent? What kinds of activities are intrinsically capable of counting as infringements? There is another amendment before the Parliament at the moment which tries to do that. So somebody who is simply writing programs or doing logic cannot by that act ever be deemed to have infringed somebody else's patent. I wonder, Mr. Zipman, have you yourself an expert opinion on that point?
I must admit, I may not have understood completely the second part of the question.
I have a text in my bag. Let me just get it. The issue is, and I apologize, you speak German so clearly and slowly as I can understand you, but I also speak English very quickly, and nobody understands me, even native speakers. If a patent is granted, whatever its content, there's a second stage issue, which is not an issue arising in the patent office itself, not in litigation. What acts can constitute an infringement of that patent? And it would be interesting to know if one could devise some form of exclusion rule which says there is doing A, B, and C, which cannot ever constitute a violation of a patent, whatever the patent says, such that people who are simply working with software and wanting their copyrights protected are safe, because there will be no way of a patent holder owns a monopoly in certain processes. This thing which they wish to do.
Patents can be infringed by a lot of ways. Depends on the, whether it's a matter patent, a process patent. There's also contributory infringement, so that some acts which do not directly infringe on the patent, but are somehow in the preparatory area, they can also violate patents. In the area of software, it is of importance that when a disk or a data carrier it becomes a patent infringing object, some people are asking for that in the Parliament also, well, then it's a very grave risk for anybody who sells software or distributes it or publishes it. Well, that is, for example, one of the things where you can have a limit.
I mean, I think that's a very interesting route to explore. I mean, one thing that's, you know, I assume that the non-convention EU rules are similar. If I sit in my office and I accidentally recreate Gone with the Wind, and I never saw Gone with the Wind, I haven't violated the copyright. Now, it might be kind of difficult to convince anyone in that particular example, but access is critical for a copyright violation. And copyrights don't inhibit us writing software. I mean, it might be annoying that we can't copy some other person's software, but we know when we're doing it, products, and we know what we can do and we know what we can't do. I mean, Microsoft might be upset that they can't copy all this GPL software for their own purpose, but that's, you know, they know what they can't do, and they're not claiming that it's inhibiting them because they might accidentally do it. Or is the problem with patents is I can be violating patents if I sit in my office and do exercise the normal tools of the trade as a programmer. And that does seem, that really is the crux of the problem. If one, for example, were to say that independent recreation of a patented software was prima facie evidence of obviousness and would shift the burden of proof, I mean, that would be one legal way of formulating that. It certainly seems that if you patent some, if you do a software patent and people all over the place are reinventing it without knowing about your software patent, it's sort of an indication of obviousness. So that's an interesting way to, I definitely think there's profitable routes in approaching things in that way. Because we're not asking that we be able to go through the software patents and swipe those ideas. That's not our concern at all. You know, our concern is that we accidentally tread on things with unknown consequences. I mean, you can be in a situation where some critical part of your technology, not critical from a logical point of view, but it's critical because you have thousands of copies out there that happen to do this little thing that turns out to be infringing, and suddenly you have a really major infringement on your hand from doing something very minor which you couldn't have known about. So to me, that's a significantly useful path. I mean, that's the thing that's really most worrying to a software practitioner is that just exercising the tools of their trade in a normal way, that they may end up with infringements of unknown seriousness.
I now have a technical question in a different sense. The program predicted a coffee break at 3 o'clock. We started fully an hour late. I do not know if this means that the coffee break has now been itself deferred till 4 o'clock. Does anybody know? So the tea break will be at 3:30. This has a lot of questions.
First of all, let me thank you personally to some guys of you I've met and some ladies I've met on all kinds of networks who supported us with your briefings and your information, because we really did depend on this kind of information. Really, I'm not talking only for me, I'm talking in the name of many of my colleagues. Thank you very, very much. It was a big support and we did need it and we still do need it. What I really want to say is, I apologize, first of all, that I wasn't here in the morning, but as you say in German, the roof is burning in the parliament. There's a few things I have to deal with, which I only can do today. So I also have to rush away again. And I would prefer staying here to keep on learning with you, but unfortunately, I don't have the chance today. But I hope you don't think I'm big-headed if I ask you to listen to me for a couple of minutes, because I want you to learn something from me. Not in the sense of that we have to learn something, but probably you might understand the pressure we are working under. The Parliament, especially our committee, where most honourable member Neil and I are members of, the Legal Affairs and Internal Markets Committee, we are dealing with thousands of directives and regulations and laws you can't imagine. And everything is so specifically your political part you're working into, you just do by the way. And honestly said, you can't do it in another way. It's too much. It's really too much. That's one problem we are facing with, and we're debating on the software patents for more than 1.5 years at the moment. And just the last 3 months, it became a serious debate amongst members in the committee. I have to say that the coastal committee, who has only the possibility to give an RV, as we say in our terms, vocabulary, was really working hard, and I want to congratulate our president who did this paper, because he just as me didn't understand a clue about the problem, and he got into it and he raised the crucial points, the crucial questions, and tried to find some solutions, also with your support, I have to say. Even the industry committee did a quite good RV. Now we are in the problem of the coach legal affairs committee, and I have to tell you the truth is, we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about the politics has to do to find the right balance between interests. In this committee, in certain areas, and now concerning software patents, I have the feeling we'll be talking about the interests, and politics has to deal with interests, and just one interest. That's the crucial point. So I just briefly want to tell you that what our opinion is, what we try to find our way through the labyrinth of explanations and support from your side. Our key points are: a clear definition should give clear limits to the scope of the directive. Second point is a reference to copyright and to the difference between copyright and patents. Third point, to stress Article 52 of the EPC, which is excluding software from patentability. Point four, information and business methods clearly excluded from patentability, and also talking about what could be an infringement. And point number five, EPO should be made more accountable, but this is another discussion. If you think that these are the crucial points, also from your point of view, then I urge you now that we do need your support. There is no existing European public. Therefore, there is no European media you can talk to. We need the national public, we need the national lobby. I tell you the truth as it is. We need you back home, talking to your governments, going to the press, and trying to get as much press release as possible. That is the little pressure we can go on with on a European level. When I was talking about all these details you've been talking today and you will go on talking about, I didn't reach any answer. I was asking the Commissioner Wolkenstein, for example, does he think that this directive offered from the Commission would hinder development in Europe? He says, no. That was the only answer. No more explanations. When I asked him, does he see a problem between, or does he not believe that copyright should be enough for software? Why do we need patents? He said, patents are needed, software is not enough. Dot. No more explanations. When I asked, probably is interoperability in danger if we go on with your directive? He said, no. Dot. No more explanations. And the last point, when I said, don't you think that this leads to problems? He said, I'm going to talk to you. discussing this one word, super gifted, so it's all good for me to tell you. It was this
I'm good for you. Okay. You wanted to ask something. Yes, sir. I'm going to attract the attention of the Member of Parliament and the European Economic and Social Council opinion on this draft directive on software patents, because at 75% of the votes, the Economic and Social Council supported my opinion, and this opinion was given to the Commission and was sent to the Parliament too, and there is a very deep explanation of why we cannot support this draft directive presented by the Commission. And the Economic and Social Council represent all those conflicting interests you were speaking about. And of course, there was a minority opinion, the representative of the big enterprises you talk about effectively tried to crush this opinion, but fortunately didn't succeed. And since that time, we had no echo of this opinion. It was echoed only by some free software organizations, but officially we have total silence from the institutions concerning this opinion. So it's not very often that the Economic and Social Council is totally against draft directive, and that's maybe why there is such a silence, because there is a new directive boiling up now. It concerns penal sanction for piracy and counterfeiting, and this is a very dangerous directive also. I succeeded in being the rapporteur, trying to continue on the same line of struggling against this tendency to patent softwares, because softwares are explicitly excluded from patenting from all international treaties and conventions, from the WIPO, from the EPO, and also from the TRIPS agreement of the WTO. It is clearly said in Article 10 WTO TRIPS treaty that software is excluded from patentability. It belongs to copyright. So I believe that in twisting the words, the invention, mise en œuvre, I don't know in English how to express that, by computer, this is just twisting the words to say software patents. I suppose that this morning and at the beginning of the afternoon it was discussed at length. So what I can tell you is that in this new draft directive, the Commission cites a lot of sources of information. Thank you. To be a difficult job, but I think the member of parliament interested should use this opinion of the Economic and Social Council, an institution, an official institution of the communities, and I'll give you a copy in English. I took one with me. So that's the position now, and I hope we can keep a majority there, because we can use small enterprises. They came in support of this opinion. We can use also the consumer organizations. They came in support. The environmental interests also were in favor of this opinion. So the only opposition came from a representative of big enterprises. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Okay. Independent
invention as a defense, which would make patents more copyright-like in this area.
Right, as you put the question, no. And indirectly, it was of course debated, and therefore we try to keep on having the formulation that we debated on in the cultural committee. I don't know it in English. I'm sorry. Mr. Pilk probably can say.
Which formulations you're referring to? It was about the data processing in another field of technology, and technology being defined as use of controllable forces of nature. That is in the Rokava and Cultural Committee paper, which is, I think, you're saying that you have been focusing on getting certain amendment proposals and persuading people to accept these amendment proposals. That was what the discussion was focused on.
Which definitely was denied by Madame McCarthy. And also that the point that she said that the copyright is not enough or is sometimes overlapping with patent possibilities, you should clarify the situation, and therefore we need patents as well. So this is really a big step. Yeah. You wanted to. No, we can't. Because fee we have on a European level, the European access.
Says that girls are the inclusion of patterns was led by your choice program. Only by the acceptance by national tribunals. National competence, patterns is a national competence. So I think that this is because of the twisting of words and interpretation by the Commission of the supposed technical effects of software that they make this analysis. But it is a misinterpretation of the clear content of TRIPS, of WIPO, and of EPO. Of European Patent Treaty Convention. Well, this is the point we developed here. I remember there was a symposium in Montreal in 1979. At this time, it was said that software patents on any kind of software should remain excluded, even the representative of the United States declared that. 2 years later, they reversed this opinion because of pressures from the companies. So, United States and Japan shifted in the beginning of the 80s to patenting software in violation of the international conventions. No, said that because it exists elsewhere for competition reasons and so on, we have to do the same. So, we cannot do the same only because others are doing that, because if somebody is violating the law, we have to violate the law to be equal. Sort of an acceptable concept.
Could you introduce could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Tony Miller. I'm self-employed, and I would like to know if... if somebody had probably attempted to challenge the national laws in favor of patenting software, or if this is at all somewhere near feasible. Thank you.
Not understand. Could you just once again say it? I'm sorry.
Okay. The practice of patenting software in the United States and Japan is incompatible in breach of international law, is it possible to challenge the national laws? So, breaking
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.